So, who are we thinking of insulting this week?
I don't know. If we've got a little person, we can just insult their mum or something.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Or, you know, some close family member or something like that.
Listen, I've got to make a public apology to Yusuf because he was a bit upset with me from last week.
You're listening to the Host Unknown podcast.
Hello, hello, hello. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening from wherever you are joining us. Welcome to the Host Unknown podcast, episode 45. This is the anti-vax special. No, it's the antibody special. Yes, welcome to the show. Javad, how are you, sir?
Barely alive.
You nearly didn't make it this morning.
I nearly didn't, no, especially as I was glowing bright green last night. But I had the.
You did go for the COVID vaccination, right? Not the Chernobyl one, you know.
I think that's what I went for. No one seemed to know what they were doing. It was the tent out in the parking area after GP surgery.
You just handed over 50 quid, right? And the guy said he could do it for you.
Yeah, exactly.
You could jump the queue.
Yeah,
I wanted my travel passport.
And then he get the injection afterwards.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, you feel a little bit unwell, Jav?
Yeah, yeah. Last night I was just feeling a bit cold, a bit of the shivers, and that's passed. Now I just feel like, you know, when you're on the other end of a flu after like 5 days, or a man flu, should I clarify, and on the other end, and you're just feeling a bit run down and achy. It's just at that phase. I think I'll survive. But, for our listeners, if I've ever in any way accidentally offended you, upset you, I'm sorry. Let's move on.
Blimey, it was supposed to be a jab for COVID, not a conscience. And also, none of our listeners can see this, but Jav is actually sat in his office. He's got a woolen beanie hat on and a massive, zip-up hoodie with the hood over, and then his headphones over the top of that. So he can't really hear much anyway. But he looks like the Michelin man.
A homeless version of the Michelin
man. The homeless version, yeah. The homeless version, Andy, how are you?
Not doing too bad. Still kicking it. I'm still awaiting my jab. Obviously, I'm not as old as you two, so I am much further down the list. So hopefully I will get mine in the next couple of months.
Much younger and healthier, right?
Much younger and healthier. And then
although not according to the photos you sent us earlier.
Well, I have had a... do you know what? I was concerned. I had to see the doctor on Monday, but obviously with the current COVID protocols, it's not an in-person visit.
No.
So it's weird. I had to download this app, and then, we sort of talked about, what my symptoms were, and obviously I was a bit concerned. So essentially all my glands have come up, like all swollen, and, they were getting redder, and now the skin's all cracked, and I was googling some symptoms myself, and I was like, this is either diabetes or cancer. Like, you know, it's not looking good. But fortunately, no, the doctor says it's just a infection brought on by stress. So I'm like,
unsurprising, given your workload. But also, Jav, do you think we made the right decision to not make this the first video episode of the podcast? You know, given what it was like looking at Andy when he first came on this morning, as we were
to be fair, it's all gone down from my face. So you notice I've got like high neck t-shirt on, and
you're doing a Steve Jobs today, I must admit.
Yeah. the funniest thing about that, obviously, doing the whole diagnosis via app. And, she asked for all the photos, and I'm like, well, you know what it's like. It's like, hang on a second, I'll send pictures of myself naked.
I just want to confirm, these are solicited pictures, right?
Yes, not unsolicited. Absolutely. And I'm like, I don't know how safe, I don't know where these things are going. So I'm like, make sure my face isn't in any of these pictures, right?
Mate, you sent them to us. Oh, you've obviously got no issues.
No issues with you guys. That's fine. Like, you know, you've seen worse. But, you know, the doctor, you know, what's she going to do with it? But obviously, the funniest thing was she prescribed loads of medication, which I had to pick up direct at the pharmacy. Like, you know, the prescription goes straight to the pharmacy. I got there. The pharmacy calls me out, says, you know, to give the instructions of everything. And my favorite part was this steroid shampoo, which they've given. And, you know, the pharmacist is like, this is for you, right? I'm like, yeah, they're right. You need to leave this in your hair for 3 to 5 minutes. And so looks at my bald head and it's like, for you, right? Like, yep. So, yeah, there's a few hiccups in that way of diagnosing someone, but, you know, it mostly works.
And if you've just joined us, welcome to the Host Unknown Healthcare Edition. Call in, let us know your symptoms, and we'll do our best to completely misdiagnose it and give you shampoo for your bald head.
How are you doing, Tom? You're fully recovered from your COVID jab, right?
Yes, I had mine before jab, I'd like to say. I obviously, you know, pulled my white privilege card to get that. And had it last Saturday at Bath Racecourse of all places. It was really efficient. I mean, you have your details checked 3 times on the way in, but you know, that's fair. It's a pretty sort of it's a big sort of logistical exercise. Sat in a chair, had a chat with a nurse who was the sort of third check-in, and I had to sign the forms and all that sort of stuff. She told me what I was getting, all that sort of thing. And then I was told to go and wait at a chair. 2 minutes later, got called into a booth, had the jab, 20 minutes sat in a chair because I was driving and they don't want you to drive straight away.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then went and got a takeaway cup of tea from the cafe on site and drove home. It was really easy. And then that night, slept for 12 hours. And then for just over 10 hours the following night. So I didn't feel any effects apart from the fact that I just died, was dead to the world overnight. So folks, all of you naysayers out there, all you anti-vaxxers out there, I'm sure there's not that many of you who, you know, you've obviously shown a modicum of intelligence by just listening to the podcast in the first place. But yeah, really, just chill the hell out. Get your jab sorted as soon as you can, and then if we can debate the niceties of the jab and the whole process in the pub later this year. And that's my public service announcement.
Well, that's done. Your unofficial rant of the week, right?
Yes, my unofficial rant of the week. I know somebody who said, "Oh, I don't want to get the vaccine." So why not? I don't want to put that in my body. What? You know, this is a person who travels to Africa every year and gets all the vaccination. Well, I have to have those in order to travel. Well, you might need this one in order to carry on living.
Yeah. You know? It's really funny. I was talking to one of my American colleagues yesterday and the same topic came up about the vaccine and whatever. And I was like, if you're brave enough to put some of that American takeaway food in your mouth, then I'm sure the vaccine is nothing by comparison.
Brave enough to eat Hershey's, yeah,
or McDonald's or whatever it is, whatever that melted cheese thing that they call cheese, whatever it is.
Oh, cheese flavor,
cheese flavor, mac and cheese, which is pasta and orange powder of unknown origin.
That's it.
Oh dear. Anyway, what we have got for you this week. We've got a massive tweet of the week. We've got a Billy Big Balls rant of the week, industry news. I certainly after last week, we're not going to have a little people today.
I think it's time to retire that segment.
I think the offers of doing little people have dried up since last week.
Yeah, before that, they were knocking down, banging down the door, weren't they?
Yeah, exactly. If you're listening, Yusuf, you know, the joke was on Jav, not you. But we do have a sticky pickle of the week trademark. It's a doozy this week. I'm looking forward to that one. So, without further ado, shall we move on?
Let's do it.
This week
in InfoSec.
I said let's do it and then realised it's me that's going to be doing the talking here. So this is a part of the show where we liberate content from the Today in InfoSec Twitter account. And although it has not been updated for very long, we have gone years back and managed to find some stuff that occurred this week in InfoSec. So taking us back 19 years, on the 2nd of March 2002, the Zone H website was first launched in Estonia, and this website then began saving and publishing copies of defaced websites 7 days later. Now, why this was monumental in InfoSec history was, I think, round about back in that time, the only other site that mirrored stuff was Attrition. And maybe a German site called Aldas, I think it was. But this is where, you know, when hackers did something amazing, you know, such as deface a site or get their political message out, that these were the people that mirrored that, so you could go back and view what happened, because obviously,
oh, I see.
Yeah, you couldn't go around and see it in real time, you know, if you missed it. And this was where I guess had my first cyber crush on someone called Evil Angelica, who may not even be a woman, but she just had fantastic humor when it came to defacing websites. Always something funny, always something witty, always something clever. And these were the sites where you could see them. And I believe I read that, you know, a couple of months after these guys started, Attrition actually gave them a copy of their mirror, which went back to 1995. So, wow. You know, it's not often that that sort of,
you know, I didn't know Attrition did mirrors of defaced websites.
A long time ago they did. And so, yeah, and that's a problem with, you know, like Zone H, you know, Aldas, Attrition. You know, back then it was like really sort of newsworthy. You know, sort of there weren't as many websites, and, you know, quite often it was a, well, actually, it was always a default password. You know, you'd go into Tomcat or whatever and just admin. And, you know, you get in, you could change it there. But this is when, you know, hackers would deface, like back up the index page, but then, you know, write a funny message on it, or like call an image and stuff like that. But nowadays it's
graffiti on the shop window, basically.
It wasn't actually that harmful. Like, you know, I mean, yeah, it was bad reputation wise, and but it's not like they've stolen data or anything like these days. They're not encrypting stuff. You know, it's just a little defacement. But yeah, they've all stopped doing these mirrors now. I guess there's just too much to keep up with.
So they're not doing it anymore.
I don't believe so. So Zone H hasn't been updated for a number of years. I think 2015 is the last time they updated. Obviously, Attrition stopped long before that, you know, and pointed to other sites. So, but I guess it's just difficult, you know, with every site that's out there, you know, the slightest.
The people that ran it either got proper jobs or had kids, one or the other.
Guaranteed. That seems to be the way.
Absolutely guaranteed, or probably both.
Yeah, you
know? And as all three of us know, having proper jobs and kids stops you from doing an awful lot of stuff.
Yeah,
well, I think it's two way. Well, on one hand, it stops you from doing stuff. That's part of it. But the other part of the pie chart is it just sucks out all the motivation for doing any other sort of stuff as well.
Well, I'm trying to put a positive spin on that statement.
Oh, sorry. Yes. No,
sucks out all the motivation, not because you feel like you haven't slept for 7 years and are wondering, you know, what you did to be fate's cruel mistress in this particular relationship, or because actually you're thinking about bigger and more important things like the future for your children.
Wow.
How to build a
time machine, go back in time and tell yourself it's not worth it.
Oh, my dear. So welcome to Host Unknown, Parents a Podcast.
The dad bod edition.
The dad bod edition. Yeah, we got three significant dad bods today. Oh, dear. I like that. I'm going to have to look into it. And do you know what? Every now and then, I always like to drop into attrition.org and see, you know, see who the latest plagiarists are, or the latest what do they call them? The
charlatans.
Charlatans, yeah. Well, who the latest charlatans are, but I doubt they've been updated.
You are going to like this second one that I have for you. So 2nd of March 2010, just a mere 11 years ago. And I've been worried about this one coming up because I just don't even think I can do it justice. And it's one of those things that, and I think people will look back at, you know, when you future generations explain to their kids what it was like living through the Trump era, you know, when he recommended people inject bleach during a, you know, pandemic, stuff like that. You know, unless you're actually there to witness it, you're just not going to believe it. You think it's been embellished and stuff like that. So 2nd of March 2010, Gregory D. Evans' book, How to Become the World's Number One Hacker, was published. Now, this book was heavily plagiarized and not held in high regard. But Greg Evans was quite controversial, to say the least. And he got a lot of attention for a number of years.
Yeah.
And, again, from our friends over at Attrition, they have an entire section dedicated to him. Yeah. Now, Greg, I mean, I don't even know how to, you know, explain. If you don't know who he is, I don't even know where to start. You know, so he called himself the world's number one hacker. You know, he said he was a high tech hustler, convicted felon. You know, he gave his prison number or whatever. Said that he shared a cell with Kevin Mitnick, and you know, all kinds of crazy things like this, which are just easily disproved. But he built this massive.
Can you check with Kevin to see if he actually did?
He didn't. No, yeah, he didn't share a cell.
Oh, he absolutely didn't.
No, I don't even think they were in prison at the same time either.
I was going to say, given that we have access to somebody who knows Kevin,
yeah,
you know, works with Kevin, has, you know, has got a similar ID badge to Kevin to get into the office, you know, I'm sure Jav could.
No. Even Kevin's refuted all of his claims or number. Yeah. Of them. Whatever he said. You know, the thing with Greg Evans is that he doesn't even try to tell the truth. That's the thing. It's a different thing where you have something that's based around the truth and then you exaggerate it. This is straight out fabrications come out of his mouth.
Well, I mean, it worked for Trump for 4 years. I mean, really, Greg Evans was a man ahead of his time.
He did it first. So he basically plagiarized everything. Like his high tech hustler book was 100% copyright infringement. It was every single part of that was ripped off. You know, what the other books, 125 ways to protect your personal computer, 68% plagiarized. His spyware reference and study guide came out as 99.3% plagiarized.
I'm surprised he was even able to do 0.7%.
I think that's just probably the name.
Yeah, and the copyright notice.
Yeah.
Ironically.
I mean, his website then became one of the most hacked websites, I think. Like, his security firm website became one of the most hacked websites for, you know, for a number of months or a couple of years, you know, after this stuff. But yeah, he lied about having his CISP, lied about having his CEH, lied about being a certified fraud examiner, lied about his CISA, CISM. You know, all these,
these things are not that difficult to get either.
I know. And they're not difficult to, I mean, you're going to get found out quite easily, but then, you know, over the next sort of, you know, 18 months or so, he was removed from, you know, various speaking engagements and stuff. He's $11 million in debt. Or his company went $11 million in debt due to, you know, his various outlandish claims and lawsuits and software that didn't work. But like I said, I can't do this justice, right? You stuck a link in the show notes. You know,
so what actually happened? Where is
he still
today?
Around. So I actually, his Twitter account's still active. I'm guessing sort of RSS feeds. And so, you know, I don't know if he's actually speaking or engaging with people. But it's just, yeah, you're right. This is the guy ahead of his time. He did, you know, when you look at Trump and just say, everything you're saying is a lie. This guy did it first.
Yeah.
Wow. I love his Twitter bio. He's like, Gregory D. Evans is a #cybersecurity, #mogul, and founder of #NationalCybersecurity. first hacker to make $100 million.
Yes.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, I have no idea where that number comes from, how he made that, whether he's implying that he hacked that much money or whether whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I
really wonder where do you go from here? It's a bit like in 10 years' time, are we going to be talking about President Trump, for instance? And it's like, where did Trump go? You know, because I know Trump's a slightly bigger, larger character, etc. But where is Gregory Evans today? Gregory, we know you're a listener.
Friend
of the show, Gregory D. Evans. Give us a shout. Tell us. Sponsor the show, my friend.
Legat Security. Is Legat still around? I
wonder, you know, what is he, you know, is he working as like a sock analyst somewhere under a pseudonym or do you know what I mean? It's like, what?
The man had no security bone in his body. He was not a security person. I think this is the biggest issue, is that he was just not a security person at all.
Yeah, but I really want to know where he is today and what he's doing.
So there was a
which
podcast.
Which interstate he's living off.
At that time when he came out with the book, there was a podcast called Shitcast. It was the Students Hacker Right in IT podcast. It was run by Matthew Hughes and
They came up with the name of that before they actually decided what it was going to be called, didn't they?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry, I interrupted you there.
No worries. So, and there were students at the time, Matt Hughes and Thomas McKenzie.
Yeah.
They were both young. T-Mac, exactly. Yeah, he although he doesn't go by T-Mac anymore. He's grown up. He's like...
Oh, he's had kids.
Yeah, he's grown up. He's married. He's had kids. He's got a full-time job. Well, actually, he was like a head of red team services at IBM up until a couple of months ago, and now he's CEO of a startup. So good on T-Mac. And Matthew Hughes has been a fantastic freelance writer for many years. And last year he joined the Register, so he's a reporter at the Register. Wow. So these guys went on to very big things. Anyway, they were students in university at the time doing an ethical hacking degree of some sort. And they started up this podcast from their bedroom, and it was whatever. And they, for somehow, they managed to get Greg Evans on the podcast.
Oh, wow.
It was a train wreck, as you'd imagine. I think they also got Chris John Reilly on.
Oh, on the same show?
Yes.
Yeah. Didn't this result in a lawsuit being issued?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
I remember this now.
No way.
Oh, this was amazing.
So because they showed up Greg Evans for, you know, being a charlatan, he then went and launched a lawsuit. He was sending all sorts of vile threats and racist stuff to Chris John Reilly, accusing him of being a white supremacist or something like that. Yeah. I can't remember what.
What?
I'd actually forgotten all about that until you said Chris John Reilly. Then I remember, this is that thing. Like, I just can't do it justice to explain how crazy this was. It was a good sort of like 12 to 18 months worth of just craziness where it's like, what is happening? Like, what is reality here?
Yeah, I know you referenced him in a talk you did once, Jav. I think that was around about sort of 2012, 2013.
Yes, I did. When I had the chart, yeah,
where the chart, like, the stages of your profession.
Yes, exactly. Something like that. Yeah,
yeah. I think Gregory Evans, he had to like kind of get a sharpie, and he fitted so far in the top right or whatever of the graph.
He was beyond. So the along the x-axis there was like how well people know you, and on the on the x-axis was how much security knowledge you have.
Yes,
and on the y-axis was how well people know you or how seriously they take you or what have you. And he was high up because he was being invited on Fox News or what have you to give his expert opinions, but his knowledge was actually negative on the security knowledge side.
And yeah, that's like, right.
You definitely want to avoid that zone.
But it's a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy, isn't it? Because you only got to get on Fox News a couple of times and then you are their go-to expert. And then, you get quoted as being on Fox News and then you get invited onto other shows as a result. And the basis is you still know nothing. And in fact, it's not just knowing nothing, it's you're doing more damage than good. Yeah. And that's the great irony. So he was much like Trump. He was, you know, he played the media exactly how he wanted to. And he got what he wanted from it.
Yeah. I mean, there's that, you know, shortcut to getting, you know, famous, get on TV, et cetera, but, you know, become an expert is, you know, you've got the traditional path, you know, go into something, you know, as a student, analyst, work your way up, become, you know, maybe through management, technical expert, SME, then become, you know, consultant, and then become an expert.
Or it takes, you know, 15 years, right?
Yeah, or else, you know, you do something stupid, get caught, you know, get arrested for it, become famous. And, 18 months later, you can just bypass that entire career trajectory and end up in the same interviews.
It reminds me kind of like, and Andy will appreciate the analogy, like if you wanted a shot at the champ in the WWE, you could work your way up trying to win the Royal Rumble or something, or you could land a cheap shot on the champ after a match, come out from under the ring, hit him with a chair, and then, you know, you got the next main event, you're fighting for the title.
I'm laughing like I know what you're talking about, but nonetheless, I it's very true, very true. Right, okay. Blimey, look at us. We're 26 minutes in, 27 minutes in already.
Oh, Greg D. Evans, go and follow the goodness. Links in the show note. You just won't believe it happened.
Oh my God, that really is a blast from the past. It's making me smile and laugh and cry all at the same time. Anyway, thanks, Andy. That was this week's.
This week in InfoCert.
Wow. Right. Do you know what? I'm going to skip the next story and see if we have time for it later on in the show. Mainly because you gave me the most technical story ever. and I'm reading through it thinking, all I'm going to do is just read this out. I have no idea what's going on. And also, we are very literally nudging up onto halfway through the show, and we've just done the first section.
Yeah, so the Greg D. Evans show.
The Greg D. Evans show. The host unknown podcast known as Gregory D.
Just
Evans.
Don't tag him when you tweet this one out, because, Siri, it's not worth the, not worth the fallout.
Well, we're going to get sued.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, yes, in all seriousness, I think we're going to move on to the Billy Big Balls of the week.
So this isn't a story that is necessarily a Billy Big Balls in the traditional sense. It's more of a story in a case of optimism or what? They're still around, like Gregory Evans.
I'm intrigued.
Yes. So, you know, you get a lot of phishing emails where it claims to be a brand that you know and love and use, and say, like, we're going to close your account due to reasons. Click here to ensure that your access is not revoked. So, you know, it's particularly worrying when it comes through and it's like Netflix is like, oh, crap, it's not just me. It's like the seven family members that use this account. They're going to all lose access to it so you click on the link, you put in your card details, you think you've renewed it, but in actual fact, you've given your details to a criminal. So we're quite used to seeing these things, but the one that really caught my eye this week was there's a phishing scam going around stating your AOL account will be closed.
I think that's pretty Billy Big Balls, because that's kind of like, you know, we know this is a diminishing market, but if you're still on AOL or have an AOL email address, you're pretty likely to click on this link.
Yeah, yeah. And you're probably old and we can take over your pension fund or something. Yeah. Actually, on that topic, FBI did release an advisory this week, warning about elder fraud, where scammers are targeting older people. So I think this probably falls into that category, because I don't think there's anyone under the age of, 78 that is using AOL.
Right. But, well, I'm gonna have to stand up. You know, stand up for somebody else. So my aunt uses AOL. It still has an AOL email address.
No way.
Yeah, yeah, she does. I don't know. I mean, obviously, AOL was bought out by somebody, right? There was, you know, acquisition.
Time, wasn't it?
Yeah. So I don't know, you know, where she still connects to, but she still has the AOL account. And in fairness to her, she's pretty savvy as well. And she's not 78, Sally. So, you know, please, I apologize on behalf of Javad again. But what is it with insulting family members, Jeff? But
is it Scott Adams still has a, you know, the guy who writes Dilbert? Does he still have an AOL account? Yeah, Scott Adams at AOL.com.
The Trump fan, you mean?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I just Googled him. Yeah, I didn't realize that.
Massive. Right. But then again, that's part of the him having an AOL account and doing Dilbert. That kind of
sets the era, doesn't it? Yeah, timed it.
It sets the era and also sets the kind of the feel of the universe he creates, if you see what I mean. Mm. Even if it is Trumpian dystopia. But I think you're right, though. In fairness, I think this is targeting a certain generation of person. You know, people who, you know, got onto the internet when it first arrived, you know, with AOL. And let's face it, AOL was easy. You plug in the CD and you're done.
Well, so that was a marketing campaign led by someone called Jan Brand. I think it was, ironically, Brand, but being her name. So they called it like the AOL carpet bombing campaign. She was hired, and basically her job was just to get AOL in front of as many people as possible. Certainly because at the time they were competing against Prodigy, Internet, who sort of had the largest part of the market. And
MSN Network, as I recall.
Was it MSN Network? Okay.
Yeah, the Microsoft one. The Microsoft.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And who else do we have over here? CompuServe. But, yeah, and so, you know, and she just said, right, let's just get it out there, direct marketing. And they emailed these AOL CDs with like 60 hours free, 90 hours free, all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Pizza boxes, it was like in the cinemas on the back of popcorn boxes. They just...
And for the kids listening today, when Andy says 60 hours free, 90 hours free, that's because you used to have to pay to dial up to an internet provider. Through your phone bill. So if you were able to phone a number that wouldn't charge you for the call, then of course you're saving huge amounts of money.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, it could take you all night just to download one song.
Yeah. So hers was quite an interesting story because she had to understand she had troubles within the company keeping the sort of the startup software that AOL used had to fit on a CD. And sort of obviously the tech guys were like, oh, you know, this is like a 5-disc installation. But she was like, no, that will not work with a marketing campaign. It has to be a single disc. And that's actually a really interesting story as well. I'll try and find a link for that.
Well, it's actually where, technology meets marketing and who's right. You know, and whilst technology probably could have produced a far better experience by having, you know, multi-disc install, etc., they would have had nothing like the level of success they would have had unless she had insisted on the single disc, you know, single click install, basically.
You're right. And I was watching a talk the other day, and it was by a marketer, and he touched on this in a different example, but I think it applies so much to this story, this particular example, and how we count things in security in general. And the story is that I think Eurostar spent 6 million, or it could have been 60 million, I don't know, upgrading the rail system to cut journey time down by 40 minutes. Because someone counted and said, customer satisfaction is all about reducing the time and we need to do this. It'll be a better journey. You know, people get into the Paris like 40 minutes quicker. But he goes, no one stopped to think that, well, for a tenth of the price, you could actually install high-speed internet all the way through the duration of the journey. So people could have access to stream like Netflix or whatever through the entire journey. He goes, that maybe would have made people happier. And they wouldn't have minded the 40 minutes extra journey time. In fact, for half of that price for a whole year, you could hire some of the world's top models to serve free champagne up and down the carriages. Not only would have that made people happier, but they would have been begging you to slow the trains down.
Oh my God.
So, you know, it's like from a tech perspective, people always think about one from a particular lens, and they're like, we need this feature will make people happier and happier and happier. But no, I think the Miss Brand was right on point that, yeah, you know, you need to make it something simple and easy that is that appeals to the masses. They can put one CD in, it connects, it works, and that's sometimes the angle you need to go for.
It's that old, you know, when all you've got is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. Yeah. I love stories like that, because I love the, you know, the way that the whole thing gets flipped on its head, if you see what I mean. As you said, you know, for a, you know, a tenth of the price, you could have actually made very few changes and people would have been significantly happier. And I love the way that logic when it's looked at, when a situation is looked at with a different kind of logic and through a different lens, you end up with a much better solution. And I think that's where, without wishing to turn this into a rant of the week by any stretch, but I think this is where in security, all we do is focus on security. Funnily enough, you might say, but actually it's not a security thing in itself. It's a people thing. It's a finance thing. It's a legal thing. It's a business thing. It's a marketing and perception thing. It's all rolled into one.
That's right. That's right. Because if you think that you work in security and your job is to provide security, then you're in the wrong business. I think you don't understand the business you're in. Exactly. To your point, you're absolutely right. What we're in the business of is giving the comfort of security, or it's we're in an emotions business. We're not necessarily in a technical business. That's how I see it.
We're in the business of whatever it is the company does that employs us.
We are that, but we're in the business of making them feel secure and comfortable in the decisions they're making to sell more beer, as your analogy would go.
To sell more beer, exactly. I was slowly nudging towards that.
I've seen your slide deck so many times. I jumped like three slides ahead in my mind.
I was going to say, you know, I know I'm stealing from Andy's presentations here. I'm going to be talking about toilets and toothbrushes next.
Wait until you see my latest malware presentation, I tell you.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, you boys are in for a treat.
Right, it's funny because I just finished one yesterday on ransomware.
Really? Okay. Well, I might tweak it because I think ransomware sounds a bit more relevant. Yeah.
You send somebody a copy of your presentation, they can't even get the subject right. Jesus. Thanks, man. Oh dear. Yeah, folks, watch your space. There's a new presentation in town. Andy will have be announcing his tour date soon. Awesome. Thank you very much, Jav, for this week's
Billy Big Balls of the Week.
Tom, I just thought you could start billing Andy as your cover band.
My cover band. I'm sorry, or even, you know, I'm sorry, I'm sick. I can't make it to this talk. But, this will do it, and you know, he'll put some Vaseline over the lens of his webcam. You'll never make tell the difference.
Oh, it's like the understudy in a big
yes
West End show, right?
Yeah, one of these days I'll be your understudy, Jav. Gav? Andy, I mean.
No, God. No, it's fine. The truth slips out. That's okay.
Yeah, gentlemen, I will be both of your understudies. dear. Andy, what time is it?
So it's that time of the week where we head over to... I actually forgot the words I was going to say there. I've done it so many times, I actually forgot what I was going to say. It's the time of the week where we head over to our sources on probation over at the InfoSec PA Newswire, who have been very busy bringing us the latest and greatest security news from around the globe.
industry news.
TikTok set for massive $92 million payout over privacy suit.
Industry news.
Facebook photo tagging lawsuit settled for $650 million.
Industry news.
Go! Malware detections increased 2,000%.
Industry news.
Quarter of healthcare apps contain high-severity bugs.
Industry news.
Microsoft patches 4 zero-day Exchange server bugs.
Industry news.
Password reuse at 60% as 1.5 billion combos discovered online.
Industry news.
Ransomware attacks soared 150% in 2020. Who knew?
Industry news.
Canadian cyber agency workers threaten strike.
Industry news.
Missing teens use school laptop to chat with alleged abductors.
Industry news.
And that was this week's
industry news.
Well, there's not a lot going on this week, was there?
No, I did like the way the headline, Microsoft patches for 0 day Exchange server bugs. They actually wrote the word zero to avoid people saying O-day.
Did they really?
Yeah. They've actually spelt out the word rather than use the number.
Yeah, why would somebody say O-day? I mean, please.
Well, I guess it's like, you know, because when it happened, you're like, Oh.
Yeah. So are you the type of person in the next, when Bond comes to stream, you're like 007, license to kill.
Actually, you know what? You're absolutely, I said, why would people call it an O-day? But yeah, 007, that's exactly the sort of thing. Like 1902, 2002, when it should be 2002, you know, or 7, which is not quite the same, you know.
You're asking the most relevant questions. What I found myself, and this is actually, I was just thinking about it the other day, when I read out a phone number, the first zero, I always call it an O.
Oh.
And then any subsequent ones are always a zero. I don't know why I do it like that.
Yes. Well, when I lived in London with, you know, growing up, the number was 01, not 01, it was 01.
Yeah, they changed that when I was younger to 071 or 081, depending on whether you're in or out of London.
Well, and now it's 0181, isn't it?
0207.
02, that's right. 0207. Oh, God. I'm getting very confused. Those are the other numbers I was calling at the time, growing up.
More history facts here for you on this show, people.
I know. Yeah. I know. It's like when that's why it's always good to have a number without an O in the middle. So then you can easily rattle it off like 07879841515. It just comes off easily.
Jav, we need to talk.
Yeah, sorry.
Call me. So
that's a number for sponsorship inquiries, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, it is. Yes, sponsorship inquiries. There you go. So TikTok set for massive $92 million payout over privacy suit. I haven't clicked on it because I'm just reading the headline. I want to give my opinion here.
Yeah.
But
that's what people pay for.
Is this TikTok set to get $92 million? Because they've been slandered or because they've got to pay $92
million? No, yeah, TikTok's agreed to pay out to settle multiple lawsuits, which was about sharing user data without consent.
So all the stuff that you told us not to worry about, Andy?
Well, and then subsequently in later shows talked about how, you know, they've been on a journey. So this stuff was older.
They've changed. They've changed.
Well, no, this was...
They found God.
Yeah, and exactly. Decided... They saw the error in their ways. No, this was from the early days, which they're just now settling. Whereas, obviously, I mean, next to Facebook, $650 million for repeated breaches of stuff. You know, it's kind of chump change.
TikTok is the lesser evil of the two, without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah. I trust the Chinese over Zuckerberg any day.
Yeah. Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a really interesting thing. You know, what is someone who's essentially a paragon of the American dream, you know, come up from, I wouldn't say nowhere, but it's come from, you know, it's come up, gone through college, didn't he crash out of college to build Facebook in the end? But nonetheless, you know, he built this, albeit to, you know, creep on girls in college, but nonetheless he built it and made it what it is today. And it's definitely got his fingerprints all over it. And yet in many circles, he's more reviled than communist China and all of the things that goes on that go on there.
Yeah.
It's well, I don't know what it is. Confusing at best.
For real.
Yeah. Anyway,
Other interesting thing about these stories, you see what it is that we just started March. So people have had a couple of months to research all the trends from 2020. So now this month, March, is normally the month where all the 2020 reports come out. So that's why you've got things like ransomware attacks soared 150% in 2020, or, you know, malware detections increased 2,000%, and, you know, all that kind of password reads. Yeah. So we're going to see more of these in the coming weeks. You heard it here first.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that Facebook one, just talking about, this reminds me a long time ago, probably about 2010, 2011, when I needed to get into an account for research purposes. So this is about them tagging people or storing people's biometric data so they could identify who it is, you know, from their facial recognition. And Facebook did this thing. So where I had a password and it let me in, but it said, okay, this password, this is your old password, you know, prove to reset it, answer these questions. And it basically gave you a choice. And what it'd do is flash up pictures of different people. And it would be multiple choice. Who is this person in the picture?
Ah, yes.
And you had to select who it was. And there was just most of these people had online profiles. So you could actually then do the search in another tab and answer all the questions. And you're allowed to get 2 out of 7 wrong, I think it was. You know, just where some people had been funny and sort of tagged their friends in food or something like that. It wasn't smart enough to recognize that the food wasn't a real person. So you had no chance of, you know, knowing who was tagged in that picture. But yeah, it actually worked back then.
Interesting. Anyway, let's move on to this week's...
Oh, no.
Javid's Weekly Stories.
In this week's Javid's Weekly Stories, I had the jab, industry news. I'm recording a podcast with two blithering idiots, industry news.
Was that the Jericho podcast that you did yesterday?
True. That's true.
Well, there is that one too, honestly. I don't know why I suffer you.
That was a very sexy episode, as I understand.
It was. It's talk out about later semen. Today.
Yeah, you did talk a lot about semen yesterday, didn't you?
It was for informative purposes only. Anyway, and that was this week's Javad's Weekly Stories.
Javad's Weekly Stories.
I'm surprised you call it The Jab and not rebrand it to The Jav.
Hey, have you had the jav in you this week? Do you want a jav injection?
It's a little prick, it won't hurt.
Sorry, Mum.
Has your mum had the jab?
Okay, right. Hit a sweeper, Tom. Tom, hit a sweeper.
Sweeper, hang on.
This is the Host Unknown Podcast, home of Billy Big Ball Energy.
So last week it was Yusuf's dad. This week it's my aunt and my mother again, Jav. I mean, really, come on.
You're blessed to have so many people in your family who are worth talking about or who you... they're wonderful people.
So, I see we've retweaked the deck this week. So, yes, let's move on to this week's
Tweet of the Week.
And because that's so cute, we do it again.
Tweet of the Week.
I have to say that is now my singular favourite jingle that we've ever had. Tweet of the Week. Now, this is going to be a little bit of a joint effort. But this week's tweet of the week came from the company that I think fired Graeme Cluley, didn't they?
Yeah.
Was that right? Was that how it worked?
Yeah, the slacker. They refer to him as that slacker Cluley.
That slacker Cluley. Graeme, give him his P45 Cluley.
Yeah. And take Carol with you as well when you go. Just kidding, Carol.
Just kidding.
No.
We're just doing our legally obligated mention of the Smashing Security podcast for this week.
I could imagine this going a bit like Jerry Maguire, like Graham's like leaving with the fish in his hand. Who's coming with me other than Blubber? And Carol just like, okay, felt sorry for him.
Yeah. Anyway, so Graeme and Carol's previous employer, Sophos. So their tweet was, tell us a cybersecurity horror story in 6 words. I think someone at Sophos is a TikTok fan as well, don't you, Andy? I think that next week's tweet for them is, tell me you're in cybersecurity without telling me you're in cybersecurity.
Yeah. And the week after that, it's things you can say in cybersecurity and during sex.
Why did you say it while I had just had a mouthful of drink there? So I thought about this, and mine, a very simple one, is we've always done it this way. Have you guys got any off the top of your head?
Accepted the risk. Oh, we have accepted the risk today.
We have accepted the risk today. So why don't we, since we're all one big happy family and a team here, why don't we go through the list that we've selected here one at a time? Andy, go for it.
Malware and Pickles, at malwr and pickles. It's probably nothing.
Mark J, who is Dr. Geek Thumb. Well, I love the sound of that. The server room had no lock.
Andy Cook, at Cook_Andy. Okay, 3389, open to the internet.
Oh, remote desktop, what a fool.
Mr. Robot says, I wiped the right drive, right?
Christopher J. Marchinko, at Christopher. Crikey, he must have been like number two on Twitter's.
Christopher J.
Yeah. Oh, at Christopher J. So not too bad. But even so, that's still quite a good time. Anyway, I'm compliant, so I'm definitely secure.
At Dr. Downs, we have a strong password policy.
Simon, at Sing033 says, sorry, your password is too long.
Josh Centers, J Centers, Rudy Giuliani. Professional cyber security experts.
Oh, that's quality.
Josh wins so far.
Yeah. Wim Letzer says, that does not happen to me.
David Robert Newman says, I wrote my own crypto libraries.
Jeroen Jetton at the tallest JJ. We're too small to be attacked.
Common one.
James Kelly says, client required SolarWinds for security reasons. Topical.
Dao Ming C says, our security policy protects against abuse.
Moreno Dalton, Morengi, obviously listened to what I said right at the beginning. We have always done this way, even though mine worked much better than that. It was grammatically more correct. But nonetheless, we've always done this way.
And sticking to the dad bod theme, Paul Stevenson says, wife found my credit card statement.
Has that got to do with dad bod? Because you bought some of those sort of like electro stim things to stick on your belly so you can like exercise.
But I left eBay logged on to my iPad the other day. My
wife, that's more than 6 words.
My wife was looking for something and she went into purchase history and she realized I'd underquoted her the price on nearly everything I've ever bought on eBay. She was like, you told me that was only £100 and it's actually
£732. Oh, you really need to tighten up your security, Jav. You really do. I mean, you were sweating enough when you left your phone downstairs last night.
What it is, this is like the audit box trick. You know, when you're trying to pass a clean bill, if you're too clean,
you auditor, give something. Yeah,
you give them something. Yeah, and they feel like they've got a win, and you swear, and you like, okay, you caught me, and they're happy that they've caught you out on something. Whereas the real dead bodies are still buried deep, deep behind.
Yeah, yeah, indeed. Anyway, thank you, folks, for this week's
tweet of the week.
So, we don't have a little people
ever again.
So, why don't we move on to
Sticky Pickle of the Week.
Sticky Pickle of the Week.
Sticky Pickle of the Week.
Okay, so imagine you are the CEO of an American-based billion-dollar global company. Well, I think Andy could. Jav and I would be too lazy to imagine that. you hit a snafu and you're called to testify before Congress about what happened. Obviously, the members of Congress who want to know in layman's terms how your IT infrastructure was left so unprotected that it was used to deliver malware to several branches of the federal government, as well as a series of high-profile private sector targets. What might be your go-to response?
It's got to be nation-state-sponsored, highly sophisticated attacks that, you know, this was just so above anything we've ever seen before. You know, you can't blame us. We're doing our best. It was just completely unavoidable.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know what, that is the case, because if you are high-profile company delivering to federal agencies, you are going to become a target of, you know, nation state stuff, right? And some of this stuff is particularly, is particularly invasive and damning. I mean, even if you look back at Stuxnet, for instance, that was an environment that wasn't even on the internet and it got attacked.
Yeah.
You know, and it was a deliberate nation state, multi-million dollar engagement. So it is going to happen, right?
It is, yeah. So 0 days do get burnt on these sorts of things.
Yeah.
I mean, failing that, you can always blame your third party, like your HVAC sister, that they got breached, and like, you know, through the supply chain. I think that's always a good one to blame.
There was that Las Vegas casino that was attacked through its fish tank.
Yes. Allegedly. Yes.
Again, another sophisticated attack in the supply chain, you know, out of your control.
Yeah, or rather one step outside of your control.
Yeah, so okay. you could have done a bit more.
Obviously, there's remediation, but there's only so much you can't wrestle people to the ground until they, you know, physically show you the code that they're using, as it were. You have to take people on their word to a certain extent, and you know, any kind of assessment is going to be a snapshot in time. So, any other answers?
I think we've given you the best answers.
Yeah,
well, I think so.
The only way, you know, when you're talking to Congress, only answers, you know, they don't want to hear excuses. You just got to be honest about this stuff.
Yeah.
So, the SolarWinds CEO, Sudhakar Ramakrishna, he's obviously extraordinarily well paid at SolarWinds. He's obviously very senior as the CEO, very, very accomplished. He blamed the intern for the breach. So he found the most junior, least compensated, least experienced person in the entire company and blamed the intern. How about that one?
Makes sense. So this intern was obviously stupid enough to create a weak password, which turns out to be SolarWinds 123, right?
Yeah.
But is trusted enough to be responsible for this monumentous task that could have a massive impact on the company.
So this intern posted the password onto GitHub back in 2017. A security researcher, Vinoth Kumar, later discovered that the password had been posted publicly since at least June 2018 and informed the company of the leak in 2019, at which point, according to Ramakrishna, it was removed from GitHub. So, there's plenty more questions I'm sure you're wanting to ask. You know, maybe, why was the intern actually responsible for setting the password? If so, why on earth had the company delegated that responsibility to that intern? Yeah. Why was the password actually changed when the leak was discovered in 2019? Or was it just removed from GitHub? Why was there no multi-factor authentication if it could be used to transfer files onto company servers? It's
a series of
it's an astounding accusation to make when, frankly, this is a fundamental failure of security procedure and culture. Let's be clear about that. You know, the fact that nobody who knew about this GitHub exposure, because these things happen, you know, people do stupid things for all the right reasons. And posting stuff on GitHub is a very clear example of all the right reasons. Because GitHub is an extremely useful tool and developers use it all the time to share code and manage code and all that that entails. But nobody within that entire chain of events felt the need to say, shouldn't we change this password? Nobody. And that's a security culture failing, which is squarely at Mr. Ramakrishna's door.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, you know what? It's in hindsight and everything, like, you know, security is hard. Yeah. And mistakes happen. Like, you know, we've all been part of organizations that have made like trivial mistakes that have led to big things. And I don't think I don't necessarily blame them for that. In hindsight, we can always point out that this was right. But to not take it on the chin, to not accept responsibility and to blame an intern for all those reasons that you said is just so, it shows such poor leadership. It is absolutely terrible.
Absolutely.
I mean, the analogy I like to use when trying to explain these things is like, if my son kicked a football and it broke someone's window, sure, he done it, but the person, the homeowner, is going to come talk to me. They're not going to come and talk to my 10-year-old or like 4-year-old son or something and like say, hey, you owe me a new window. He's going to come to me and say, you owe me a new window. And for me to then turn around and say, oh, well, it was the boy, talk to him now. I'm going to kick him out of the house for that. You know, that's very unparent-like, as much as I'd love to do that. But, you know, it's...
The only acceptable response from Mr. Ramakrishna should have been, the buck stops with me. You know, there was a series of mistakes that were made that shouldn't have been made. And frankly, we need to tighten up our procedures internally and improve our entire company's attitude to security. And that is something that I take seriously and I will be taking a personal interest in. That's
proper ownership from a CEO, isn't it?
Oh, I know. Exactly. Yeah, appalling. Frank, he should be ashamed of himself for even mentioning the fact that it was an intern did it. I'm beside myself. Oh no, it's a mirror. But it's it sticks in my craw. It really does.
Well, no, the California representative, Katie Porter. She actually said at the hearing, I've got a stronger password than SolarWinds 123 to stop my kids from watching YouTube on their iPad.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Hers is President Trump 2020.
It's California.
4 more years.
Oh, that's true. Well, you never know. Some of those places. Anyway, that was this week's
Sticky Pickle of the Week.
Sticky Pickle of the Week.
Sticky Pickle of the Week.
Found it. Gentlemen, we are well over the hour at the moment, so thank you so much. Thank you so much. That show just flew by.
You were in a very ranty mood today, Tom. I like it.
Do you know, I woke up a bit grumpy this morning, I have to say. I slept through my alarm. My alarm was still going 45 minutes after I woke up.
Wow.
No, before I woke up, I should say.
Was it your neighbours knocking on your door that woke you up?
Yeah, exactly.
They turned that damn thing off.
Yeah, complaining about the smell. Yeah. But so, yeah, I was a bit grumpy. See, but that Solar Wind story, that really does piss me off, though. That really does piss me off. I think I may have seen a few too many other executives like that. But there you go. There you go. But anyway, thank you so much for your conversation, time and company today, gentlemen. Javad, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. I'm now going to go cry in the fetal position while I wait for the rest of the flu symptoms to wear off. But yeah, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
It has indeed. And Andy, thank you, mate.
Stay secure, my friends.
Stay secure.
You've been listening to the Host Unknown podcast. If you enjoyed what you heard, comment and subscribe. If you hated it, please leave your best insults on our Reddit channel.
Worst episode ever.
r/smashing security.
Yeah, you know, speaking of responses from vendors, Bit9, they're now called Carbon Black because they acquired them and they adopted the brand. They had a breach back 10 years ago or something, 5-10 years ago. And some of their servers got popped. And their response was genius. They said, due to an oversight internally, we didn't install our own software on those servers. So it was like, had we had our world-class security software there, we would not have been pwned.
That is brilliant. Some classic redirection there.
That is smoke and mirrors. And like, what?
Seize that opportunity.